From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Here's Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. He covers the Chiefs. They are now 7-0 after going on the road and beating Las Vegas over the weekend. Hey, Jesse, how are you?
Doing great, guys. How about you?
We're good. So I got a question to ask you, very straightforward, and we just want your answer, okay? Doesn't have anything to do with the Chiefs. Do you understand the benching of Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis? Just asking your opinion on that.
That's not wasn't the question. Jesse, okay, is related to that. What is your personal opinion about Anthony Richardson asking out of a game because he was tired? Go.
I have never seen it. So that is, I can't imagine his teammates would have been happy with that. I guess I'll say that. I maybe it'll become something in the future of the NFL. In 20 years, we're all used to it, but that's not something I've ever seen or heard. So I'm sure that had reverberations throughout the locker room that a guy would just
he's out of it. You just won me a dinner, Jesse. And I have a second part to the question, and this is even trickier. What word would you use to describe someone who validated that move by Anthony Richardson to come out of the game? What word? Pick one. Just what comes to mind?
Oh gosh, am I going to have to? Is this a descriptor of Jeff? Is that what's going to happen here? Is that what you're trying to goad me into here?
Well, I'm just asking you what word you would come up with. I can't really
There's a lot riding on this answer, perhaps.
Do I have to say like handsome or intelligent? Is that what I'm looking for here? Am I working both sides of this well enough, guys?
It's not moron, correct?
No, it's not moron. I'm okay. trying to play Switzerland here.
All right. Thanks for helping us through that one. We do appreciate it. We're kind of silly on this show at times. So here are the Chiefs, 7-0, and I think the general mood about the Chiefs is that, yeah, they're really good, but they seem like they should be better, especially offensively. They're not blowing anybody out. When are they going to blow anybody out? Is that just the design of this football team, that they're meant to roll through games and win them and not necessarily score beauty points?
Well, that's been that case so far this year. I mean, I will say in this last one, just a tiny bit of pushback. I mean, they were up 14 late in the fourth quarter. You're trying to stop the Raiders, but you know, your secondary goal on that drive is to make them take up enough time that if they fail on their two-point or their onside kick, then the game's over. And it's exactly what happened. The Raiders failed on their onside kick, and the Chiefs kneeled it three times, and the game was over. So you win by seven. You know, it's more like a 10-14 point game. But I think you're speaking of something very accurate, Bob, which I've mentioned before and I've referenced, which is I see these power rankings out there online, and you know, I see that other people out there have, you know, maybe the Lions or the Bills or the Ravens ahead of the Chiefs, and I'm not opposed to it, honestly. Like, there have been more dominant moments for those teams than there have been the Chiefs. But what you do have to say about the Chiefs is they have just put themselves in an amazing position to go in the playoffs and potentially win another Super Bowl. Because would you rather have Jesse Newell of the Kansas City Star tell you are a really good football team, or would you rather be 7-0 and last week had, according to Pro Football Focus, a 72% chance to get the one seed in the AFC, which means you're the only team to get the bye, you get a week off, and you get home field advantage. I mean, it's an astronomical number to have this early in the season. So however they're doing it, they're in an ideal situation right now as far as the playoffs go, and again, trying to make another push for the Super Bowl to potentially win three in a row that nobody's ever done. And so that's where you want to be. But to your point, yeah, there's better things that they can do, and it feels like they just haven't hit their stride yet. And so all those things are a positive when you're sitting there and your record is 7-0.
I agree with you that power rankings ultimately mean nothing, but I also don't really understand how the Chiefs could be ranked anywhere but number one. It's not like they're this upstart team that, the Chiefs, they're catching our attention. They've won the last two Super Bowls, and they're undefeated. But I guess the question is, you know, what is the formula to beat the Chiefs if they haven't played well really that often? Is there something and still win? I mean, is there something that there's going to be a fatal flaw that gets exposed at some point? If they're not playing well and still winning, how do you beat the Chiefs?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the close games probably speak to that. I mean, for all intents and purposes, you know, the Bengals were one play away from beating the Chiefs. You know, you took a fourth and very, very long play. And listen, it was absolutely pass interference. Should have been called. It was called. But, you know, the Chiefs were in a pretty dire situation there. You know, I would say that probably explosive plays on both sides is what worries me about the Chiefs a lot, along with turnovers. I mean, we know this. Like, Mahomes still has 9 interceptions, and we know that the Chiefs have fumble problems at times this year. So they don't win the turnover battle that often, which it kind of puts you in a hole to start with. But on offense, you know, they have been great. Their interior three are great at blocking. I mean, just they've made every running back back there look amazing. But they don't get big chunk gains. I mean, their longest run from a running back this season is 13 yards. You know, they don't have explosive plays. They love to get, you know, they get 5 to 8 yards, and then they get 5 to 8 yards again, and then they're ahead of the chains, and then they have manageable third downs. And then you saw, like, this last game, they were 12 for 15 on third down because they're all third and shorts, and you have Patrick Mahomes scrambling when he needs to. And I even think the last one was a kneel down, that one we talked about after the two-minute warning. So they were 12 for 14 on third down. So, you know, they really haven't been super tested on third and longs this year like they have in the past because they've been ahead of the chains. And then defensively, you know, Steve Spagnuolo is great at blitzing. He's great at taking chances, but they play man coverage a lot. And you saw, I remember the Saints game a couple times where, you know, if you've got a quarterback back there who hangs in there and who finds his receiver who could drop the ball in, there was one time the Chiefs brought cover zero. They brought every man and had man up across the board. And Derek Carr drops in a dime to his receiver on fourth down who just flat drops it. The 49ers had another one in their game. I think it was Ayuk, same thing, down the field. I mean, drops in the bucket, it gets dropped. And so you have to hit on your big plays against the Chiefs. And these other teams haven't been able to do it. And so that's a credit to the Chiefs for kind of discombobulating teams. But at some point, I'm sure some opponent is going to take advantage of that opportunity given to them, and it's going to be a little bit different game for the Chiefs coming down the stretch. So I think big plays both ends. The Chiefs don't produce them, and the Chiefs don't stop them very well. That could be a bigger factor down the line. The Chiefs have gotten a little bit fortunate. I think it hasn't been them yet so far.
Jesse Newell giving us his insight on the Chiefs. They are unbeaten, and hard to fathom that they won't make another very strong run at a Super Bowl. Let's get a little deeper into Patrick Mahomes because his numbers look pretty good considering, but that 9 interception thing to go with 8 touchdowns, is that just a facet of him not having enough weapons? And when you lose a Rashee Rice and a Hollywood Brown and Isaiah Pacheco, and that just adds up, and it's going to affect Patrick Mahomes' numbers to some degree. Or do you see any decline at all in him?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Excuse me. I think it's a combination of a lot of things, and I think some of them are actually really positive for the Chiefs. You talk about the 8 touchdowns. I mean, that's the number that stands out. Like, through 7 games, he had 8 touchdowns. We're used to this guy going, you know, 35, 40 touchdowns a season. For him to be at 8 is an alarming number. The Chiefs are still scoring touchdowns, though. They're just running them in. And it kind of speaks to what I talked about earlier, which is right now you're talking about career years from Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, and Trey Smith all at once. That's a good thing to have. You know what I mean? And so anytime the Chiefs are in the red zone, especially lately, they're just running it. And they're scoring touchdowns. I looked up a stat the other day that's sort of interesting about the Chiefs that kind of plays into this as well. A couple of years ago, Patrick talked to us. It was kind of an interesting quote where, you know, you can run these run pass option plays where if the ball is in Mahomes' hands and he waits to see what the defense does, and he can either give it to the running back or throw it to the receiver. And earlier on, a couple of years ago, they weren't working for the Chiefs because every single time Patrick Mahomes was pulling the ball and throwing it. You know what I mean? Like, he wants to throw the football. I saw the Chiefs are running RPOs more this year than any other team, but 80% of the time they're running it. And so I think Patrick Mahomes has had some maturity throughout all this. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have to be the show if they're winning. He doesn't have to have the ball has to be in my hands. I think he's trusting the defense. I think he's trusting his offensive line. I think he's trusting his running backs. I looked up against the 49ers. The Chiefs ran 15 RPO plays, and all 15 were run plays. I think that shows a lot of maturity and growth. And a guy that's sort of like Travis Kelce, the numbers might not be there to week to week for him individually, but as long as he wins, that doesn't matter to him. You know what I mean? So having said all that, I thought Mahomes played one of his best games against the Raiders. Like, they picked apart zone coverage. Travis Kelce had a big game. He looked like he was in rhythm better. So I thought it was a good step for him. But I think part of this speaks to maybe the Chiefs' culture and what they've become is that I think you could see guys on other teams maybe having that sort of statistical line affect them and then affect their play because of it. And I just think that the Chiefs right now care about winning. And I think Mahomes is definitely squarely in that category. And the 8 touchdowns, 9 interceptions might impact somebody else in a way that it's not affecting Patrick Mahomes because he's mature about this and understands how the game works. And because of that, the Chiefs are 7-0 and still successful on offense, even while doing it in a different way.
What have you made of the trade deadline so far, the moves ahead of the deadline, not only for the Chiefs, but the AFC, the Bills, and Ravens now today get a receiver. Do the Chiefs have anything else up their sleeve? Do you think there's a point where they become reactive rather than proactive, where they see another contender make a move and feel they have to counter it in some way?
Yeah, I just don't think that's the way they operate, really. And we've seen this in the past, too, where you know, the Bills, they had to get to their Super Bowl, so they go sign Von Miller in free agency and spend all this money. And you just don't ever see the Chiefs paint themselves in the corner like that. I mean, you can even kind of circle it with the deals that have happened so far. Like, Amari Cooper goes for a third-round pick to the Bills first. I mean, it would have been a decent fit with the Chiefs. The Chiefs wait a week later, and they get DeAndre Hopkins for a conditional fifth-round pick. You know what I mean? Like, and through one game, looks like an amazing fit with the Chiefs because of his football knowledge and potentially his ability to jive with Patrick Mahomes right away with the knowledge of football that they both have. So I think that's the way the Chiefs operate. Like, they kind of want things to fall to them. They aren't going to force anything, and they're not going to try to one-up teams, especially teams that are chasing the Chiefs. I mean, one of the greatest advantages winning two Super Bowls in a row gives you is that there is no desperation. You know what I mean? There is no got to have it this year. I mean, it would be great to win a three-peat, and that's why the Chiefs are making trades right now. I mean, they're trying to upgrade their roster, all those sorts of things, but you don't have to completely mortgage the future and all your draft picks to do that. And there's a reason the Bills and the Ravens and those sorts of teams seem more desperate in these situations than the Chiefs do. It's because this is how the Chiefs operate, and it's how they've always operated, and it's why they maintain their level of success year after year after year. So I think the Chiefs are already done trading, honestly, after getting Uche yesterday, the edge racer from the Patriots. At him and DeAndre Hopkins, and kind of fill in two of those biggest needs depth-wise, I think they're in a pretty good spot. So I would expect them to go forward with what they have here and chase that third Super Bowl, and then always keep an eye to the future, because so much of their success is not only their superstars playing well, but backfilling with all these rookies and draft picks and making smart decisions there, because you have to supplement your roster with talent there too, and the Chiefs have done a really good job of that as well.
Jesse, always a really good insight. We appreciate it. And I think the best thing you accomplished here is winning me a Japanese dinner at Kobe Steakhouse. So thank you for that.
No problem, Bob. Whenever you speak of me, speak well and enjoy the meal.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.